Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Our title of our message is Don't Fight the Fall. You know, the fall and the autumn season is one of my favorite times of the year. It's absolutely beautiful. You watch the leaves change and it's just so aesthetically pleasing. Amen. And you start to wonder what causes these leaves to change colors and fall. But let me don't get ahead of myself. The title or the theme for today was What a Friend We Have. Amen. How many of us have a really close friend? Someone that we could really, truly trust and with all our hearts, even lend them your car maybe. Really quickly, let's see those hands again. You have a really close friend. Amen. You know, coming through school, there were individuals in my life, and I'm sure you could identify with this, that I absolutely thought that we were going to stay connected for life. We were friends. We could depend on each other. We could do all these different things together. But it was interesting as, and again, it's young adult Sabbath, if I'm not mistaken, right? Young adults. So I want to pick on the young adults. What's your name, my friend?
Daniel.
Were there any individuals in your life, male or female, that you thought that you will stay connected to, that as life continued to progress, you fell out of touch?
Yeah?
And I'm sure if we are able to search the Rolodexes of our minds, we have individuals in our lives that we thought that we will stay connected to, but we have fallen out of touch. Amen? It's here that I want us to start. You know, for our opening hymn, we sang, What a Friend We Have in who? In Jesus. For so many of us, we sing these words. And so often, it eludes me, why is it He loves us so? Because when we look at our culture, when we look at our society, the people that we tend to hang out with, we connect with them on some level. You know, the friends that you choose, you have similar interests, amen? Or you have a potential of benefit from knowing them and interacting with them. Do you choose friends differently than I do? Because so often, as you look and you survey, you say, okay, if I love a certain type of music, I don't find myself identifying and hanging out all the time with someone who may appreciate something different. But is that right? I want us to turn to a passage of Scripture. It was read for a Scripture reading earlier. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to read this in your hearing. It says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, or nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Strong, strong words. Why is it the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, why is it He wants to be friends with us? Have you ever wondered that question? Why does He love us so? If He were to apply our standards, so often we don't find ourselves not only making friends, but sustaining friendships with individuals that serve no benefit. There are individuals right now, if your phone were to ring and you see them, it'd be like, what do they want again? And sooner or later, after a while, you stop answering the call that quickly. You know, there's certain individuals, the phone rings, you pick up your phone right away and you say, you know what, hey, how you doing? For others, so often we let the voicemail pick it up. But God does not do that to us. But yet still that relationship, that friendship is a one-way street so often. I'm not saying all the time, but so often God is the one always extending, extending, extending. And we're simply going to him with our hands outstretched. And I want us to start to wrestle with it. We know that we have a friend in Jesus. But what type of friend are we? There's a passage of scripture that changed. We read the Bible. I pray we read the Bible. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. We read the Bible and we read these words and we say, Lord, shape us, transform us, mold us, help us to understand all that you have for us to gain from this. There's a passage of scripture that changed my life completely. I want you to turn there. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The word of God says as follows, come. Come now and let us what? Help me out. Reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be as what? Scarlet, they shall be white as, though they be as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Huh. It's easy to read that passage and keep going to verse 19 and so on. But I want us to pause for a moment and allow these words to permeate, allow them to saturate our minds. Come. Come. An invitation to each and every one of us. Come. He says, now, declaring a sense of urgency. Now, I want you right now. I have four children. And when I call to them and I say, come here right now, I don't expect to hear, well, my show is almost over, Dad. Or, well, I'm playing with my toys right now, Dad. I expect them to come now. Jesus is saying, come now. Why the sense of urgency? Why the sense of urgency? We're talking about a friend, our friend. He is in a battle between good and evil. He is in constant battle because the accuser never stops day or night. He's trying to destroy us. He's constantly bringing before God the reason why each and every one of us should die. And Jesus is saying, come now, let us reason together. I want us to think about this now. The God of the universe is asking for you, asking for me, asking for you, asking for me, asking for all of us to reason. Reason with God? Do we understand what we read in Isaiah 55? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. It says, as the heavens are farther than the earth, so are my thoughts from your thoughts. And he wants to reason with us. I had the privilege of taking a class during my undergrad year at Andrews. It's called Business Calculus. It so happened I needed to pass this class to graduate. Unfortunately, I already sent out invitations to come to my graduation. Pretty excited. And as the class continued to progress, I started to grow more and more concerned whether or not I was going to pass this class. My teacher was an absolute genius. He knew his stuff. He knew his stuff, no ifs, ands, or buts. And he would get so excited. He would get so passionate. He would be up there writing on the board, and he's getting excited. And he looks back, and he keeps writing some more. And I knew I had no chance besides taking really good notes and going back to the room and saying, Lord, help me. And I will take and I'll try to follow everything that he wrote on the board. And so often, as it will happen, just before class will be finished, he will look at the board and he say, oh, made a mistake. And he will erase the whole board. And I'll say, oh, I started to give up all hope in understanding business calculus. That's business calculus. The God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, is saying, come now, let us reason together. Do you understand the implications of that invitation? This is God putting his divine duties on hold to reason with each of us. He's saying, I want for you to understand what I know for you. Because if you know what I know, you will be obedient. If you know what I know, you would not reject what I'm doing for you. He's saying, come now, let us reason together. He says that I know that you are sinful. I know your tendencies. I know that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately evil. But I also know that the wages of sin is death. And he is willing to pause. I don't know if you've ever been in a crisis situation and you needed to get something done quickly. It's not the time to reason. One, we're rushing to try to get stuff done. My kids love to help. Praise God, they love to help. And sometimes, I don't know if your home is anything like mine, sometimes someone will be coming over for dinner, for lunch, and the house with four kids, it doesn't always look too clean. So we're rushing and we're trying to get things back in order so when they come into our house, they don't feel like they have to turn right back around and walk back out. And we're rushing and I have the vacuum and my son may say, could I do that, Daddy? But I know so often in his good intentions that me saying yes will mean that he's going to end up waltzing around the house with the vacuum cleaner, playing with the cord and twisting around like so. And, oh, I wonder what this does. And he gets the hose out and he puts it to his ear sometimes. I know my son's not the only one who plays with a vacuum cleaner. But in the instance where we're against the time clock, it's not the time for me to sit down and reason with him. It's not the time for me to say, hey, Michael, hey, Gabe, hey, Ariel, whichever. We are against the time clock right now. Someone is coming over right now, and we need to hurry up and clean up so by the time they get here, the place will be clean. It's not the time to do that, at least in my mind. But God, in his infinite wisdom, is willing to come alongside us and reason with us. He's saying, I am desperately in love with you. I don't want to see any of you lost, and I'm willing to do absolutely everything to make sure that you are saved. And because I cannot save you against your will, get that now, I have to do everything it takes for you to make that choice. I have to wait till you understand what I understand. Let us reason together. Because when we see ourselves as God sees ourselves, we will say, Lord, do with us as you please. But so often we think of ourselves better than we really are. We don't think we need. You know, what does it say about the Laodicean church? It says that they're naked and deprived, but they think that they need nothing. And we think that we're okay. But in actuality, our response to God's invitation to come should be like Isaiah in chapter 6. Woe is me, for I am undone. We are a people of unclean lips. But do we see ourselves like that? Do we see ourselves as better than we truly are? So God goes on. He says, let us reason, let us reason, let us reason together. As you continue to look at this passage of Scripture, and I pray that you will spend some time with it when you leave here this evening, I want us to take a look at the implications that are involved. Time is short. Do you agree with me? As we look around, I know I've been a child. My father is a minister. And I'll so often hear my grandparents, God is coming, repent, get ready, get ready, get ready. My grandfather is dead. My father never thought that he will hit the age of retirement, but he is knocking on that door right now. And yet still, when I speak to my children, I have a sense of urgency because I see the Bible being fulfilled before me. You look at the wars and the rumors of wars. You look at the Ebola outbreaks. You look at all of these different things. And it, you know, the Bible is clear that this is the beginning. What does it do for you in your life? What should it do for us in our life? As I said, the title of our message is Don't Fight the Fall. As the seasons start to change and September rolls around, the temperature in our neck of the woods starts to change. The amount of sunlight begins to lessen. And the, I saw your face, I feel the same. And the plants and the trees recognize something is happening. They start to say, you know what, the sunlight is not there. The leaves that are in charge of producing the food start to slow down and dwindle because of the lack of sunlight. And they start to say, the tree sends out a message and says, hey, we got to do something in order to survive the winter. They have to do what? They have to shut down. And what starts to happen? The tree sends out some abscission cells and they start to congregate right where the stem and the meets the branch, and they start to bind up, and the nutrients begin to be blocked off so nothing can go in or out. And soon we realize that the leaves start to change color. We see that beautiful yellow leaf or that orange or that red. How often do we think of death as beautiful? But the tree recognizes the importance of separating these leaves in order to survive. In our lives, we too have leaves. We too have things that we hold on to, that if we continue to hold on to them in this cold, dry season, in these last days, we will certainly die. And God is sending the message. God is sending the signal over and over. Let go. Let go. He's saying, come, let us reason together. I want you to understand why you must let go of these things. He's saying that you cannot love the world or the things of this world because it puts you at odds with me. But so often we hold on to it, like my child so often hold on to that pack of candy. It's enough. Put it down. But Dad, no. What are we holding on to? Is it a job? Is it a toxic relationship? For so many of us, we're quite a different number of people in this room right now. And we are all holding on to things that we must let go in order for God to save us. And so often they don't seem to make sense. He's saying, let go. I'm sending this signal. The abscission cells are there. I need for them to block off your connection with the world. James chapter 4 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How many of us are drawing nearer to God as the spiritual climate gets colder, as the spiritual climate gets darker? Are we allowing God to draw us to himself? Or are we simply holding on to our leaves saying, look at me? The Bible is clear that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. There will be things that we do not understand the dangers of. This is why God is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But we have a friend who knows all. We have a friend who was willing to give up heaven in order to save us. We have a friend that says, no matter what, I am willing to do whatever it takes in order for you to have life and to have it more abundantly. What's stopping us right now from dropping the leaves in our life? What's stopping us right now from letting go and letting loose of the things that will mean us harm? Do we know more than God? Do we? No. Absolutely not. I want to read an excerpt from a book called A Circle Maker that I think did a wonderful job putting certain things into perspective for us. The author writes the following. It says that the prophet Isaiah gives a glimpse of God's omnipotence and omniscience by comparing them to the size of the universe. The distance between his wisdom and ours, his powers and ours, is likened to the distance from one side of the universe to the other. It references Isaiah 55:8. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It says, the universe is so large that it requires an awful long tape measure. It says, the basic unit of measurement is a light year. A what? A light year. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second, which is so fast that in the time it takes for us to snap our finger, light has already traveled around the earth several times. To put the speed of light and the size of the universe into perspective, the sun is 94.4 million miles away from the earth at its furthest distance. If we can travel at 65 miles, we drive speed limit, amen? 65 miles, 24 hours a day, 365 days for the year, it would take us more than 163 years to get there. Listen to this, though. The light that warms your face on a sunny day, on the other hand, left the surface of the sun only 8 minutes ago. So while 94.4 million miles seems like a long distance by earthly standards, it's our next door neighbor according to celestial measurements. I want us to take a spiritual ride right now as we think about what Jesus Christ truly did for us. Well-known story. The alarm comes into heaven. Man has fallen. They have done the very thing that you said that they should not do. And God starts to survey again spiritual imagination now. God begins to survey his angels, his fastest angels. He looks to the seraphim and he looks to all his different angels and he said, how long will it take for you to get to earth? We just went through some speeds here. It says that the light travels from the sun to our earth in 8 minutes. And God's angel says, "My God, my King, it will take me 8 seconds." God looks at that angel. Too slow. They need you now. They need me now. He calls his next angel. He says, "Hey, how long will it take you to get to earth?" Angel says, 5 seconds, with a smile on his face as he flaps his wings. Spiritual imagination. God says, "That's too slow." A look of shock fills his face. 5 seconds is too slow? He says, "Where's my son?" He says, "Where's my son? Jesus! Jesus, where are you?" Silence. Then a faint voice says, "I'm down here." Jesus, in his love for us, he came to this earth in spite of the fact that we will spit in his face. We will put a crown of thorns on his head, pierce him in his side. We will hang him on a cross with nails. So the next time we sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus," I want us to not only look and focus on what type of friend we have in God, but ask ourselves, what type of friend are we? Because you see, so often we hold on to things that go against our God. The Word of God says that God is love. How can we, in all honesty, say that we love God when we don't even love each other? This is why it was such a blessing to receive such a warm welcome walking into this door. I want to say thank you for that. Because I've heard it so many times from different individuals that come to our churches, it's too cold. I came to the church and no one spoke to me yet. I've been coming to that church and it's the 10th time and they're still asking me to sign the visitor's book. What leaves are we holding on to? What do we have to drop in order to survive? What do we have to do in order for God to say, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have understood because we have come together and we have reasoned together. You now understand what I need for you to understand to dwell with me for eternity." But you see, the Bible is clear. If you love me, keep my commandments. And as we continue to struggle with this, God is willing to come down and say, "You know what? Yes, like the rich young ruler, he says, I've done all of these for my youth." God looks at our hearts. And he sees the very leaves in our life that we are holding on to, and he's saying, "Don't fight the fall. You have to let go. Because the Bible says in Christ we are a new, all things have, behold, all things have become." Every spring, it's amazing to watch these dead trees come to life. These naked and these bare trees come to life. But that's exactly where God needed them to be to survive. And he needs for each of us to be bare and naked just the same. He needs for us to drop the leaves that we feel confident and we have this false sense of security. We are not going to get to heaven because of a bank account. We're not going to get to heaven simply because of how nice we were. The Word of God says that there's one way. One way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the what? No one comes to the Father except. And he has some scissors and he loves to do pruning. Pride. Clip. Arrogance. Clip. I want you to fill in the rest of the words. Clip. 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 Before you know it, we're standing before him. Empty. But he's willing to drape his robe of righteousness around our naked bodies. Once he gets us to where he needs us to be, he says, come now. We've reasoned together. Come and enjoy. Come and enjoy now. Because this is what God is calling us to. This is the friend that we have. In our feeble human minds, we entertain friendships because we see a perceived benefit. We connect with people that have similar likes and similar interests. That's our friends right now. What greater benefit than eternal life? So my charge to each and every one of you today is don't fight the fall. God bless you.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.